Lord speak through you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Harper. Good morning, church family. Oh, what a privilege once again to be able to come together to study God's Word. And as we look at our world, we praise God for the promise that Jesus is coming again. Amen? I mean, every day that goes by, it just makes it one more day closer to that glorious event. And we all, I know, long to one day be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This past Thursday, Pastor Harper and myself had the opportunity to be part of the National Day of Prayer. How many of you have participated in the National Day of Prayer? The first Thursday of every year. I'm sorry, not every year. The first Thursday of the month of May, and this time was the 3rd of May, churches all around the United States of America gather together to pray. Most churches in different cities and different states say, Adventists, we tell our members, hey, let's get together and let's come to church on Thursday night and let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our first responders. Let's pray for our servicemen and women. And let's pray for our community, et cetera, et cetera. And so we come together to pray. Fallbrook is pretty unique in that the pastors in Fallbrook, including the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Adventists, we come together. In fact, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we had the opportunity of coming here to our church. They came and we prayed for our nation. We prayed for our community, for our city. We prayed for our schools. And so this past Thursday, we again had that beautiful opportunity to pray in. Pastor Harper and myself, we had the privilege of having scripture reading, and we had the opportunity to share a passage from scripture during that time. But what caught my attention once again was all the people that know us. And what do I mean? So many of your neighbors go to that church or one of those churches, and they would come up and say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I am neighbor with this person. Oh, I recognize the name. Praise the Lord. Says, oh, we're so happy that they're our neighbors. And what an opportunity to witness. Amen? Sometimes we don't think people notice, but people are watching. They're seeing. Well, what is it that we do? What is it that we believe? How kind are we with each other? Yes, how loving are we with each other? And time again, I had that joy of seeing people that also have come to our church because of some of our health seminars and other programs that we've had here in the past. And again, brothers and sisters, is this a time for us to be praying? Yes, is this a time where we, as God's people, should be lifting each other up before the throne of grace? And if there's ever a time, I believe that God's people should be praying, studying His Word, and sharing it with others, it is in these days. Praise the Lord, we have still liberty to do it. Amen? And if we have the freedom to share what we believe, to express to others where we have put our hope, why wait until it gets difficult? Yes? Why wait till, like in some countries not too far from us, Cuba, for example, you can't freely tell your neighbors. You kind of have to kind of hint, hey, you want to come, you know, with me on Saturday morning? And you can't really express it openly. So praise the Lord that we, today in the United States of America, have this freedom to share the gospel and to share the hope that we have found in Jesus. But this morning, I would like to share with you a story found in the Old Testament, a story of a brave and courageous man. And praise the Lord that in his word we find examples of brave and courageous men and women. Amen? Some of them had to stand for God in moments that were very difficult. Stand up for God in moments that for any of us would have been like daunting and even scary. And we would have thought, whoa, what is God asking me to do? And I would like to share with you the story of Gideon. Gideon, a man who fought for God, fought for his people. Someone who, with just a few, 300 men, was able to scatter the troops of the Midianites, the Amalekites, in a very difficult time for God's people. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6, where we find this beautiful story of Gideon. And what you'll notice is that in verse 1, something shows up time and time again in the book of Judges. This is like a phrase that almost begins every story. A phrase that when you read it, you go, how in the world could this be? Verse 1 tells us, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Hadn't God done so much for them? Hadn't God revealed himself to his people? Showed them how much he loved them? Given them instructions in writing on tablets of stone, on skin, on the materials that they had to write on? God had revealed his will to his people, yet the children of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. One of these things they were prone to do was to follow other gods. They became idolatrous like the nations around them. They were following in their customs. And things were not going well for them. 7 years, the Bible tells us, the Midianites had been oppressing the children of Israel. And because of this, they were in hiding. They were hiding in caves. They were hiding in mountains and hills where they were building these places of refuge. They were trying to find peace in the midst of this chaotic situation. Verse 3 tells us that whenever Israel had sown, and the Israelites were farmers, the Midianites would come up, also the Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. So imagine you're a farmer. You prepare the ground. You bring the seed. You plant it. And you see, after a few days, something just pop out of the earth. You've been watering it. You've been taking care of it. And all of a sudden, your neighbors come over and they see your garden, your beautiful garden. It's just starting. And they come and they put their foot on it. Bah! And not only do they put their foot on it, but they bring then their pets and vroom, they just go right through. Who are the Midianites? Does anybody know? They were family. And sometimes we are hurt as human beings by what? Our own family. The Midianites were descendants of Abraham. In fact, you also know another famous Midianite by the name of Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. Moses' wife was a Midianite. My brother-in-law and my father had the opportunity to visit the land of the Midianites. And this is modern-day Saudi Arabia. Now, if you've been to Utah, southern part of Utah, if you've been to Arizona, if you've been to Nevada, that's what it looks like. That's Saudi Arabia. It's desert. It's hot. It's dry. Nothing grows. So you would expect they're going to take care of whatever is growing on the other side of the Jordan River. And yet, they were coming to destroy. If you look at the ways they did this, verse 5 tells us, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Praise the Lord that when we cry out to Him, He listens. Amen? Praise the Lord that even if we've gone astray, He does not forget us. Amen? Praise the Lord that the children of Israel remembered to cry out to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we should not be afraid in our moment of need to cry out to the Lord. Amen? He listens. He hears our prayers. And so what does God do when His children cry out to Him? Verse 8 tells us that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land." Praise the Lord for God's messengers. Amen? Reminding the people of God that God was the one who had brought them out of the house of bondage. And it was God who had given them this beautiful land for them to possess. But verse 10 is what caught my attention in reading this passage. Also, I say to you, I am the Lord your God. I am what? I am the Lord your God. And then he follows this by saying, fear not. Are there a lot of things that make us afraid today? How many of us like to visit maybe the doctor? Are we fearful when we visit the doctor of what he might say is not going well? Or how many of us like to visit our accountant on April 15 or right before it? Find out how much we owe. Fear not, says the Lord. Do we live in tumultuous times, brothers and sisters? Are things going to get better or worse? They're going to get worse. We know that. The Bible speaks about things that are coming. But the Bible also reminds us not to fear. Especially, it says here, do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You might say, well, praise the Lord, we don't have the gods of the Amorites here today. But what are some of the idols we fear today? What are some of the things that worry us? Could it be our job security? Could it be debt? Could it be something the doctor told us that is not a good prognosis? Whatever that might be, brothers and sisters, the Bible reminds us, fear not. Amen? And I believe the only way we can actually experience a life of peace is, again, by recognizing that the Lord is our God. Amen? That's the only way. The Lord is the same one who brought us from point A to point B, whatever that might be. Amen? And if he brought us from point A to point B, he can bring us to point C and D. Amen? He promises to be our God. And the only thing he desires is that we will listen to him and that we will obey him. But now we're going to go quickly to verses 11 onward. It tells us of another being who shows up in this beautiful story. And verse 11 introduces this being. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So the Israelites had to take some measures, different measures. Instead of threshing the wheat in front of everyone like it was custom, like they would do it in any other time, where was Gideon threshing his wheat, preparing his meal? He was doing this in a wine press. From all places, a wine press? And he was doing this in hiding. Does that sound like a very brave, courageous person? Does that sound like someone who is not afraid of anyone or anything? Yet praise God for the way he sees us. Amen? He doesn't always see us the way we are acting, but he sees us as somebody who can be courageous and strong. In fact, verse 12 tells us, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor, of courage. Wow, I can imagine Gideon turning around saying, who is he talking to? Is that me? Well, okay. God with us? Gideon had his doubts. Do you have sometimes doubts? God, are you really with us? Are you really there for us? If you are, then why this and why that? And why am I going through this test? What have I done, God, to deserve this? And this is exactly how Gideon responded. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. We're doomed. God has forgotten us, his people. And this is why we're going through all this. But had God forgotten his people? Can God forget his children? Never. Human beings can, but God never forgets his children. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might. Go in this might. Does that sound familiar? Go ye therefore and make disciples. Get up and go to Nineveh. God likes to tell us to go. Could it be that we get too comfortable? Okay. I'm not terribly bad. I'm okay. But God invites Gideon, invites us to go in this might of yours. And God told Gideon, you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he asks him the question, have I not sent you? Is this a question that we should ask ourselves too, brothers and sisters? Has God not sent us? In this incredible time of Earth's history, has God not sent you and me to save his people? Amen? The word Savior is used here. Gideon, I've called you to be a, and it says literally there, Moshiach. Sounds almost like Mashiach, the anointed one. But the Hebrew uses this term, Moshiach. From where Jesus' name comes from too, Yeshua. Because he would save his people. Gideon, I'm calling you to go and save my people Israel from the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon was super excited, wasn't he? He was like, yes, finally, someone's going to do something about this. No? He was like, Lord, when do we start? No? Was he like, so who else are you sending besides me? Because I don't think I could do this alone. And praise the Lord, we don't have to do this alone. Amen? Like God understands that not one of us has all that is needed to share the gospel, to tell others about Jesus. But Gideon wasn't too excited about this. In fact, he told the Lord, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house. Do you ever feel that way? Me? No. I can't even sing. Yes? Speak to someone about the gospel? Gideon was being invited by God. And verse 16 gives me encouragement, brothers and sisters, and should give you encouragement, because God told them there, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Can we say amen to that? When God sends us, what does he also promise? That he will be with us. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Gideon still wasn't too sure about this proposition. He's like, okay, So why don't we do something here? And Gideon asks for a sign. Have you ever asked for a sign? Yes, God, if you really want me to speak to that person over there, and you just feel your heart is tugging, say something nice to that person, you know, give them a glow track, and you're here and you're thinking, can I do this? What will they think about me? And all these doubts come to our mind. We ask sometimes for a sign. And is God willing to give us a sign, brothers and sisters? Yes, he is. He was willing to give Gideon a sign. Amen? Gideon, I'm calling you. And if you need a sign, I will give you one. And this is what the Bible tells us Gideon asked and said. He told this angel of the Lord, and may I ask, who is the angel of the Lord, brothers and sisters? Jesus. Throughout the entire Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is a divine being. It's God himself. It's Jesus Christ. He told this angel of the Lord, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And the beautiful thing the Bible tells us is that the angel of the Lord said, I will wait until you come back. Is God patient with us? Does he wait upon us? Does God have to wait upon us, brothers and sisters? Does he need you and me to fulfill this task or any task? He doesn't. But yet he patiently waits for you and for me. And what I admire of Gideon is that he went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. What Gideon was doing at that moment, brothers and sisters, he was worshiping. Amen? He brought his offering, not knowing exactly who this being was. By faith, he brought what he had. Are we also asked just to bring what we have? Amen? And offer it to God and say, God, this is what I have. I don't have much, but what I have, I offer it to you. Will God honor our offerings, brothers and sisters? He will. And that offering, that sacrifice that was brought before this angel was consumed. And the Bible tells us in verse 22, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Could it be, brothers and sisters, that we need that kind of experience where we need to be face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ? Could it be that in order to have that courage, that valor, we need to have a Gideon experience? Bring before God what we have. Say, God, I offer it to you. I surrender it to you. It might not be much. But if you're calling us in the year 2018 to do something, to go, could it be that we need a Gideon experience where we see Jesus face to face? Amen? Is that something we could have? You might think, Pastor Sam, what are you talking about? What I notice in Scripture is that every time God is about to do something great and special, He sends His messengers, the prophets. Amen? That we can see in the Old Testament, that we can see in the New Testament. But many times, God reveals Himself. He revealed Himself to Moses. Amen? He revealed Himself to Joshua. He revealed Himself to Gideon. He revealed Himself in Jesus Christ to the New Testament church. Amen? And I believe God wants to reveal Himself today as well. Amen? What kind of an experience do you think Gideon had after being face to face with the angel of the Lord? Verse 24, and this is where we're going to end. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Shalom." The Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Is the Lord peace, brothers and sisters? When we see Him face to face, do you and I experience peace? Amen? Are things well when we are in the presence of the Lord? Yes? Are our families well when we are in the presence of the Lord? Amen? Is the church well when we are in the presence of the Lord? Is our community well when we are in the presence of the Lord? And I believe, brothers and sisters, that the invitation is for us to be in the presence of the Lord. This could be in your room, when you pray, when you open His Word. Does God promise to be there? He promises. Where there are two or three gathered in His name, does He promise to be there? Amen. He promises to be there. Do we always perceive Him? In fact, we hardly ever perceive that He's present. But Gideon had a beautiful opportunity to see the angel of the Lord face to face. An experience I believe God wants His people to have today as well. That we might see His beauty, that we might see His love, that we might understand His character, that we might emulate Him in all that we do. And I would like to share with you some passages from the Spirit of Prophecy. And it's Testimonies to the Church, Volume 7. When God gave His Son to the world, He endowed human beings with imperishable riches, riches compared with which the treasured wealth of men since the world began is nothingness. Christ came to the earth and stood before the children of men with the hoarded love of eternity. And this is the treasure that through our connection with Him, we are to receive, to reveal, and to impart. It's not just for us to keep, but it's for us to what? Share with others. Our institutions will give character to the work of God just according to the consecrated devotion of the workers by revealing the power of the grace of Christ to transform the life. We are to be distinguished from the world because God has placed his seal upon us, because he manifests in us his own character of love. Our Redeemer covers us with his righteousness. Can we say amen to that? In choosing men and women for his service, God does not ask whether they possess learning or eloquence or worldly wealth. He asks, do they walk in such humility that I can teach them my way? Can I put my words in their lips? Will they represent me? Will you and I represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We have opportunities today and the days to come. In fact, I want to ask our church to pray. Tomorrow, Scott Hunter and a group of our church members will be going to Carlsbad. And they will be sharing books. One on a very courageous man by the name of Desmond Doss. Many of you have heard of. And other books like The Great Controversy, Steps to Christ, and material related to our church. Does it take courage to go out there and share? Yes, it does. But praise the Lord, he has promised to be with us. Amen? And so I'm going to invite our church, as we look at the days to come, ask God, how is it that I can serve you? How is it that I can be in your presence? How is it that I can have that same courage and bravery that Gideon had as he offered you what he had, recognizing that he was in the presence of God himself, and acknowledge that in God we can find peace. Amen? In God we can find the strength that we need to fulfill the work that he is calling you and me and so many others to do. Amen.